Father, I want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ to present myself to you. Hallelujah. On the basis of the word of God that has been spoken to me and confirmed many times, I ask, Father, that you have authority over my mind, authority over my emotions, authority over my desires, that my thoughts might be your thoughts, Lord. Yes, Lord, and my words might be your words, Lord. You know how this human vessel wants to manipulate and orchestrate and move of its own accord. But I submit it to you today, Lord. And I ask that you have preeminence over every action of it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's a thought and some scriptures that the Lord has brought to me that I want to share with you this morning, this afternoon, this morning. Is it afternoon or morning? Huh? I don't know. Where am I anyway? Oh, Dubuque. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to draw this a little different than that we are normally used to. And I'm just going to use this half of the board. This is eternity. That is the dwelling place of Elohim. And when I say Elohim, I mean God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I am very much aware that the plans and purposes of God was counseled in heaven at the beginning of creation, and they had determined at that particular point in time to do a particular thing. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, and you probably heard this before, but that's all right. I like repetition. It kind of indelibly marks it in your mind, in your soul. When they gathered together there in Genesis chapter 1, and I say they, I mean God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Up until that point, at that time, they were known as Elohim, three but one. Hello? When you addressed the one, you addressed all of them. They did not act independent of each other. They did not move separately or contrary to one another. They moved in unison and harmony with one another. Hallelujah. And they were one unit. But at this point in time, something happened. And maybe we should go over there to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I want to read it so that you know I'm not misquoting the scriptures. Hallelujah. That is, if I can find it on this thing. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. And if you go from verse 1 down to verse 26, as he is creating the things that he is creating as far as the world is concerned. And by the way, God made natural things as an illustration of a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Everything that you see out here is a shadow of the reality that exists in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. What does it say? By him and for him were all things created. Well, he has no need for a natural situation, a natural set of circumstances, except for the reason of working and producing something that is necessary to have that type of environment. And when he said he created man a little lower than the angels, what is he saying? He's saying that you were not made of the same substance, the same heavenly substance that they have been made of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they were to be examined in our science society, it would blow their minds. They couldn't figure out. They'd probably call them aliens. Hallelujah. When in some respects, they are. Hallelujah. Not the aliens that come from a different planet, just in the concept of the difference of what they are compared to us. And we were made a little lower, it says. And yet we are to be exalted not only above the angels, but above all things that he created. Hello? Hallelujah. He told Adam and Eve in one of the following verses there that they were to have dominion. And not only were they have dominion, you know, it's one thing to have dominion, it's another thing to have control. Hallelujah. He says, have dominion and bring into submission. Hello? Hallelujah. And when man fell, the world went into chaos or an uncontrolled existence. Not only did the world go into an uncontrolled existence, but man went into an uncontrolled existence as far as where the authority was first placed. And it wasn't he that was controlling the world now, it was the world that was controlling him. Hallelujah. There are three things that you and I have to deal with: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And probably the pride of life is the root of the whole thing, the root of the whole tree. We are proud of who we are. We're proud of what we are. We're proud of what we do. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, maybe not you. We're proud of the fact of who and what we are as a nation, as a family, as an individual. Hello? Hallelujah. And in all of that, it is necessary for us to understand that this was not something that was outside of the mind and the will of God. Because God wanted an entity to be like him, but he knew that entity had to make the right decision in order to be there. Hallelujah. And the thing that makes you and I like God, hallelujah, is making the right choice. It is the authority to choose. John chapter 1, verse 12 says that unto him that believe upon what? His name. What is his name? Nature. He that believeth upon the nature that is God, and that can be appropriated by me or you as a human being. He says, in that nature there is an authority. Hallelujah. And that word authority is the word asousia. I think Sister Susan was speaking something about it. She mentioned it a moment ago. Asousia is a supreme authority. It is an authority that is given by virtue of your new birth. So it is the same authority as the Elohim has when he created the earth and all of the things that are in the earth. And when he breathed into Adam, he just didn't breathe something of life into him. He imparted to Adam that potential of authority. And Adam was exercising that potential. That garden was supposed to be about 500 square miles large. Hallelujah. How does one man take care of that physically? Hallelujah. That was his. He was the farmer. It was the garden. Hallelujah. I've been a farmer, and I didn't farm 500 acres. I just had 20 acres, and that was a big-time job for one person. Almost impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was a supernatural position of relationship that Adam had as a living soul. There was a power, and not only was there a power of authority in the aspect of control and oversight and overseeing, there was also the power of the authority to create. The power of creation was given to Adam by virtue of the thing that God breathed into him. Now, God does not breathe air. Hallelujah. We want to somehow visualize or make it seem as though God is like us and he breathes air. But God don't breathe air. But what breathing does is you exhale and you inhale. Hallelujah. So when it says that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, it means out of God came some life energy, some potential that was totally foreign to the element on which it was being breathed into and into the environment in which that element was going to exist. And that element became a hunk of clay, stood up in living flesh. Whoosh! Hallelujah. And the Bible is very specific about it. Living soul, not dead soul. Hallelujah. We don't know about living soul in the natural arena, because when we are born, we are alive, but we're dead. Hallelujah. It is by virtue of choice that you become a living soul. Have you ever thought about that? Hallelujah. It is by virtue of choice. When you were sitting there in that chair and somebody was preaching hell's fire and damnation, you were sitting there gripping the back of your chair and wanting to run there and not wanting to run, running, not running, running, and you made a decision. No devil in hell was able to stop you. And do you think the devil was just sitting back twiddling his thumbs? Hallelujah. When you got born again, do you think the devil was just sitting there playing a game of Monopoly or something, checkers, whatever it may be? Hallelujah. He was doing everything in his power to stop you. Hallelujah. But he could not stop you. Why? You chose to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, and to go beyond that, that's your own personal testimony. In fact, if anybody ever asks you if you've ever said a miracle, he says yes. Tell him yes. Every day I stand up and look in the mirror. I'm a miracle. I was destined for hell. I was sliding into hell on a grease rail. Hallelujah. And by virtue of my own desire, or my own choice, my own will, I was sliding as fast as I could in the depths of hell. But yet in my soul, something was crying out for deliverance. Hallelujah. The dissatisfaction that I had with my life and the lifestyle that I was in, something was moving in the midst of me and was crying out, God, redeem me, save me. Hallelujah. And I had no knowledge of this Elohim. I had no knowledge of the Scriptures. All I knew is I did not want to go to hell. Hallelujah. I didn't get saved because I loved Him. Shock, shock, shock. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Huh? How could I love somebody I don't know? How can I love somebody I have no consciousness of as far as who they are, what they are, and what it is that He has for me, or if He even loves me? It was after I got born again that I became cognizant of this love that was beyond my imagination and my comprehension. Hello? And the more I knew about it, the more I wanted to know about it. And I dug and dug and dug and get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. Hallelujah. But in the beginning, it wasn't that way. So God breathed into Adam. He had the power of creation. You know that, don't you? You go down in the chapter. And when it talks about He created the beasts and the fields and all of the things that were there in so forth and so on and so on and so on. It says that God took Adam one day. Hallelujah. Walked down there, took Adam by the hand and brought him out there in the field. That's all painting of the picture. Hallelujah. Took him out there and he had the animals come before him. And it says that God, I mean, if you read it in it, God pushed Adam out to the front and he took a step back. And he would see what Adam would call them. Now you're talking about nature again. There was no encyclopedia of animals, by the way. Hallelujah. There was no bears. There were no lions. There were no hippopotamuses. There were no eagles. There were no swordfish. Huh? Hallelujah. There were no elephants. There were no hippopotamuses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was nothing. There was just something there that was in existence that was an animal. Huh? Of some form, some nature. And Adam had to name him. And somehow in the intuitive knowledge of the Elohim, Adam had, and that was developing as he was growing and walking and talking with God, the Father, hallelujah. There was an intuitive knowledge that this thing that was standing before him, it should be called a lion. Hallelujah. And when he spoke the name lion, I don't know what language he was speaking in, but when he spoke the name lion, the beast changed and became a lion. Hallelujah. Come on. He said, name means nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was a power of creation that was given to him. Now, man is the only entity that is able to create. Hallelujah. You look at the architecture of this building. This came out of a man's mind. You look at a piece of machinery. It's been developed. When we were farming, I had this combine, and it has so many parts and pieces on it that it was inconceivable how they all worked in harmony with each other to do what they were supposed to do. Hallelujah. And what they were supposed to do was to cut the grain. Hallelujah. Send it in there, and it was to shake it and separate the kernels from the shaft. And it was to run the kernels through some little trough and into some little tray, and that would run it up through and dump it into your tank. Hello? Hallelujah. The complexity of the thing, chains and belts and all these things that were there, the complexity. Somebody invented that. Huh? Somebody invented that. Hallelujah. How did he do it? Because of a creative power that had been given to him by virtue of the endowment that God gave to Adam. To be a living soul means that you have come into harmony with the Elohim. Hallelujah. And the only thing that stops that progression, that development of growth, is when you and I get distracted or diverted by something in the natural arena or in the spiritual sense of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, first and foremost, I want you to understand that the plan and purposes of God, hallelujah, the plans and the purposes of God was that in the beginning, as well as at the end of time, he wanted an individual, a corporate individual, hallelujah, who would be like him. That's the whole plan. That's the whole purpose. You have the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And I'm going to draw the tabernacle this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we are supposed to be climbing. When we sing a song, climb the hills of Zion. Isn't that the song? Then we sing that song. Let us climb the hills of Zion. What is it? Come on. The city of the living God. Oh, the city of the living God. Yes, the city of the living God. Oh, let us climb the hills of Zion to the city of the living God. That testimony is in his midst. Well, that ark resides here in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And that means that our journey through the tabernacle, though it may be horizontal, hallelujah, it is more vertical than horizontal. Have you ever heard this message, you have to get higher into God? Haven't you ever wondered what it meant? How do you get higher into God? Hallelujah. You get higher into God by virtue of stature. Is that the right word for growth and development? Huh? I think it's even a biblical word. Isn't it a biblical word? Huh? Ephesians, the 4th chapter. What does it say? To the measure of the stature of what? The fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So when this element of, when this contingency of the Elohim, they got together, the word that is translated God in the New Testament from chapter 1 up until that verse is the word Elohim. Now Elohim in the Greek is a plurality of God. So when you would say to when you would say Elohim, he would immediately know you're not just talking about one entity. You're not just talking about one personality. You're talking about a triunity of personalities. So it'd be like us saying, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said. Hallelujah. But they don't do it that way. They say Elohim. And you know, the Hebrew language is like a picture language. I've been told when you talk to a Hebrew in Hebrew, hallelujah, He doesn't just hear the word sometimes. Sometimes he sees a picture of it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how they do that. I don't speak Hebrew. Hallelujah. But somehow or another, they see this, are in their mind, they have a mental picture of what you're seeing. Hallelujah. So when you say Elohim, they can visualize three entities in their mind. They can visualize three entities, three personalities that are separate and of each other, but yet in harmony, in purpose. Do you understand? Harmony in purpose. Hallelujah. And they got together and they decided that they wanted to develop this creation. They wanted to make this creation not just in the image that they were, but also in the aspect of what it was to be like them. Now, if you have a problem with that, turn to John chapter 17 and go into verse 20, 21, 22, when it talks about the us. Hallelujah. Working to bring the disciples and those that believe on the name of Christ, hallelujah, into one with them. Hallelujah. And he's very busy. Even Father, as thou art one, and I am one with you, and you are one with me, that they might be also one with us. You know, up until Genesis 26, there was no us. It was just Elohim. The us is the significant of a division of a position of responsibility. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that is the purpose, that is the whole message of the tabernacle. To be one with God. To be one with the Father. And it's not that we are one in the sense that we are going to be designated and equal to the Father. Because at the end of the day, Jesus turns everything back over to the Father. It's a very simple explanation. A body has to have one head. But the one head has to have a body. Do you understand? The one head has to have a body. In order for a head to be a head, it has to be a body. If it's just no body, it's just a head that is cut off. Hello? Hallelujah. The body has to have a head, and there's only one head. And Jesus Christ is the head of that body. But the parts of the body that make up the body that are attached to the head are one with the head. My body. Hello? Functions under the jurisdiction of my head. I don't even have to think about it. If you want a drink of water and you're doing something else, you're standing there and you're listening and you want a drink of water, somehow the eye communicates to the brain, it communicates to the hand that the bottle is over there. Hallelujah. You reach over there, you're not thinking about it, you just want a drink of water. You're listening or you're watching something. You reach over there, you grab that bottle, hallelujah, and if you're left hand or right hand, you bring it over, and the other hand just automatically comes over and it hits the head, it doesn't go... Hallelujah. And you're really not just looking at it, but it's cooperating. There's something going on between the head and the hand and the arms. Hello? Hallelujah. Is this difficult to understand? Hallelujah. I think it's quite simple. Hallelujah. The body needs a head. The head needs a body. But the head needs a body and the body needs a head because there's an ordained thought. There's an ordained purpose. God did not just create man on a whim. He did not create man on a whim. God had a problem. Hello? You go into Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. God had a problem. And the problem was rebellion in heaven and war in heaven. It says, in the beginning, darkness covered the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Darkness is always indicative of wickedness. Darkness is always indicative of rebellion. Darkness is always indicative of a position of resistance against a constituted authority. Why do you think your children have so much trouble with their parents? When they're growing up, and sometimes when they get older too. Why do you think they have so much trouble? It is resistance against a constituted authority. You know, one of the things that used to be very prevalent in in Africa, and I spent much time there. One of the things that that used to be in place was respect for elders, respect for parents. Hello? Of course, they carried it a little too far. They went from respect of living parents into ancestral worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in that aspect, there is a balance. There was a respect that the people had for older people. I remember one incident when we were coming into Nigeria, and the brethren decided, they picked us up at the airport, decided that they were going to go in a roundabout out a way to get us to our destination. Hello? And it was a wrong decision. They were trying to avoid the military and the police blockades, and because they knew that any time that you're as a visitor and they see you, that they see that you're not as dark as them. Hallelujah. They have a tendency to want you to give them something because they think that you're probably a banker or something. Hallelujah. That way it used to be. It's still pretty much the same in that respect. Hallelujah. So we were going and we got stopped by some policemen, our army people. I don't know who they were. All I know is they were carrying guns with live ammunition. Hallelujah. And he comes up to my side of the car. I'm sitting in the front seat. That was a mistake. I should have been sitting in the back. Hallelujah. And he tells me to roll down my window, and I roll it down, and he says, "You're a sailor." And I said, "No, I'm not a sailor. I'm from the U.S., and I just came in. Here's my passport." "No, you're a sailor." Hallelujah. And he's saying, "Come on, come down, come down." That means get out of the car and stand over here. Hallelujah. Because they're wanting to harass me, and they're wanting to give me money, or they want to give me a hard time if I don't give them money. Hallelujah. So you have to get out of the car, and you go, and you're talking with them, and my driver, he was getting a little agitated, he gets out of the car and comes around and begins to talk with them and argue. They're going back, and they're saying, "No, no, he's a sailor, he jumped ship." And I said, "No, I'm not a sailor, I got my passport." And then he gets mad, and he says, "Everyone, come down, come down." And there was, Brother Dusiel was in the back seat. Hallelujah. And Brother Dusiel happened to be dressed in this very white African outfit, the pants, the shirt that come all the way down. Brother Dusiel was also very much the right color. Hallelujah. And he had this little rim of white hair around his head. And I'm telling you, when he got out of the car, he was almost effervescent. The white suit was like it was shining, and the hair was like it was glowing. Hallelujah. And this soldier took one look at Brother Dusiel, and he said, "Oh, Papa, you're old. You're old, Papa. Get back in the car. Everybody back in the car." Because of his age, because of his position, and the respect that this man had for that, even though he wanted to rob us, hallelujah, he let us go because Brother Dusiel was an old, hallelujah. So there was a respect that they had. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that did not necessarily, fix the situation or change the circumstances of the environment. But God wanted to move. God wanted to bring something to a position or a place because there was something that God was dealing with. Now, if you want to know what God was dealing with, you can go over to Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm not going to go there. But Jeremiah chapter 4, you can read the whole chapter. But what is very significant, down in the latter part of the chapter, the same terminology or the same wording is used. The exact same wording. And no other place in the Bible is it used that way. You know, it says, "And the earth was without form and void." That means it was in total chaos. And you read the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, and it's speaking of rebellion of Israel against God. the Father, God the Creator, rebellion, and such a rebellion that the lamentation of the Father was, "My tents are spoiled." Now, what do you think the tents of God were? The tents of the Father. What do you think they were? He was not talking about natural canvas tents. He was talking about the vehicular aspect of the body, because God looks at your body as a temple, as a tent. A tent that He wants to inhabit. He says, "I will dwell in them, and I will write My laws upon their hearts." Hello? "And they shall what? Be My people." Hallelujah. "And I shall be their Elohim." Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Jeremiah 31, 31, 32, 33. Hallelujah. So it was a matter of rebellion and sedition and position of self rising up to usurp the authority that has been given to humanity to do and to perform and to come to a certain position of conclusion as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. And you know, have you ever seen somebody who takes authority and then he takes the authority upon himself as though it is his? He doesn't just become a representative of it. It is as though that authority is essentially him. And he utilizes it and abuses it. Hello? If you don't know about it, go to Africa. I'll take you several places. You can see where it is working to bring sedition and confusion. Hallelujah. And the situation in Genesis chapter 1 is not just a darkness and chaos, it's total confusion. And in the aspect of what it was detrimental to the plans and purposes of God. Not only that, but there was an entity in heaven that He had created as an archangel who was known as Heliel. Hallelujah. And you can find this in Ezekiel 28. You can go to Isaiah 14, hallelujah, where the chapter starts talking about a man, a king, a prince, hallelujah, a ruler who was abusing his power and moving in an authority that is not his to move in, hallelujah. But it switches from man to a spiritual dissertation about what happened in the garden and what happened prior to the garden. Hello? Hallelujah. If you want to define the Bible, what you need to do is find the verses in the Bible that correlate with what it is that you are reading, and the Bible will hold up what it is that it is saying as far as one scripture or another is expressing. Hello? Hallelujah. You don't have to dig something out of the imaginary to try to convince somebody that what you are saying is true. It's all written down in the Word of God. Hallelujah. There was this entity that was called Heliel, and the Bible says in one of those books, Isaiah 14 or Ezekiel 28, that this angel defied God. I think it's in Isaiah. There's five I wills. Hallelujah. Isn't Isaiah? There's five I wills. That's the ministry of rebellion, by the way. Hallelujah. If you want to know what rebellion consists of, look up Isaiah 14 and look at the five I will. I will what? Exalt My throne above the stars. Huh? I will ascend into heavens, which is the dwelling place of God, which is the position or the place that God has created by virtue of His own presence. So it's personal exaltation. Would you say that was something like the pride of life in some respects? Maybe not entirely. Huh? Hallelujah. I will exalt My throne. The stars of God are talking about you and I, you understand? The stars of God are talking about you. It's a human entity. It's a human personality. When He talks about stars, when it talks about the stars of heaven shall fall, Huh? Hallelujah. It's not talking about these galactic bodies up there crashing down upon the earth. It would destroy the earth. Hallelujah. It's talking about those individuals or those positions or places of authority that entities and personalities have as far as the authority that has been given to them by virtue of the Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was the next one? That is where God wants to inhabit. He's not talking about a physical mountain. He's talking about the heart of man. Hallelujah. Satan wants to sit where God would sit, in the midst of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Yes, that's number three. That means he's going to be total, absolutely one position, one place, and he wants the worship of all humanity and all of creation under his control. Hallelujah.
And the last one, I will be like the Most High.
I will be like the Most High. So, you see, there was a little problem. Now, brethren, I don't believe the testimony and the development and growth stops right at this point. I don't believe that it stops at this point. I believe that God has other plans and he has other purposes. Hallelujah. That are yet to be revealed. But what I do know, it says that in the last days, the mystery of the Elohim is going to be manifested, and there are those of us who desire to know it who will receive it. If you desire to know what the mystery of God is, God is going to show you that mystery. But you and I have to be ready to accept it. You and I have to be capable of handling it. Hallelujah. You know, there's one factor about all of this. The more you know, the more vulnerable you become. For whom, to whom much is given, much is required. And I don't know, I have been in this gospel for almost 40 some years. I think it's 48 years from the time I first heard it. And I did not hear it from Brother Duciel. I heard it from another source, but not the entirety of it or all of the basics of it. But this message, I have seen many men of God who have had the revelation and had the knowledge and had the experience and had the witness, hallelujah, in their ministry that God was indeed working with them. I have seen many of them perish. Go off to the right or go off to the left on the basis of the revelation of righteousness, on the basis of the revelation, hallelujah, of what it is that was in God's mind concerning it. You know, Paul says, I will not let, height or depth, but he says, I'm sorry? Yeah.
It's in Romans.
It's in Romans. But he says something about life in that.
Neither life nor death.
I will neither let life or death. Now, he's not talking about natural life. Really. He's talking about the spiritual reality of what life really is. And he's saying, I will not allow that to separate. I will not allow that that aspect of life separate me from the will of God, from the love of God. Hallelujah. Because the more you take on as to knowledge, if you are not going through the process, if you're not fulfilling the necessity of what is required to hang and hold the knowledge in righteousness, you will use that knowledge unrighteously. Hallelujah. So I want to go back to the beginning. You can hold that thought. I want to go back to the beginning. So here we are. in the beginning, and darkness is upon the face of the deep, and God wants to deal with the darkness. Now, He's dealing with the darkness at the beginning because there is something He wants to do at the end. And He doesn't want the darkness to have to hinder or have to deal with it in that which He wants to do. Hallelujah. So He wants to terminate the darkness. Hallelujah. He wants to utilize man, hallelujah, in the essence of what it is that He can give him by His spiritual birth to deal with the darkness. Now, if you deal with the darkness, hello? Hallelujah. You deal with the devil. Listen to me. The devil was created a little lower than you and I. What does that mean? I mean, we were created a little lower than the devil, but we were exalted to a position or a place of authority that is over the devil. And the thing about the devil is he does not have what you have. Do you know that? You were created in a specific way. You were created in a manner that nothing else was created. There was a law that God established, and we need to get this into our hearts, not into our minds. Hallelujah. We have it in our minds, but we don't have it in our hearts. There's a law that God established in the beginning for the sake of humanity, and that law that everything should bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. When He made the beasts of the field, He said, and they shall what? Bring forth after their own kind. When He made the fish in the sea, and He said, and they shall bring forth after their own kind. When He made the field and the bush and all of the things that are out there, He said, and everything shall bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. What was He doing? He was establishing boundaries. And those boundaries are rigid. Those boundaries are inflexible. They cannot be violated. They cannot be violated and still produce something that is living. You take something, a plant, you take an heirloom plant and you cross it with another plant and that is not an heirloom plant, and you get something that is called a hybrid. Huh? And we have hybrid religions. Hallelujah. You take a horse and a donkey and you cross them and you get a jackass. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know that the symbol of the jackass is symbol of man. Stubborn, hard-headed, independent, has his own mind. And the only way that you can redeem a jackass is to break its neck. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the jackass cannot reproduce after his own kind. He can't produce. He's sterile. Hello? You take a broccoli plant that we used to plant on the farm. It was a hybrid plant. I could not take the blossoms off that broccoli and get the seeds out of them and plant and come back with another broccoli. It would not work. Some strange thing came up out of the ground that was like a weed. Hallelujah. So God established boundaries. He established boundaries. And He did it for a purpose, because He knew that without those boundaries, you and I would be totally and absolutely at the mercy of the devil. Hallelujah. So when God breathed into Adam's nostrils, when God exhaled Himself, as God exhales His omnipotence, His omniscience, His position of absolute authority, as he brought it forth out of Himself and He put it into Adam, Adam rose up as a living man, a living soul. And that soul now was of God's kind. Hallelujah. And that God's kind, the born-again Christian, is to be what? He is to be the bride of Christ. He's to be the bride of Christ, not married to some denominational position of religion. Hello? But you marry a born-again Christian with a denominational position of a theology, and you get something that produces the theology over and over and over and over and over again. A theology without purpose. A theology without destiny. A theology that has no concept of what was in the mind of the Father in the beginning when He said, I want to make man like me. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to make man like me. Brother, I looked it up. Go look it up in your concordance. That word likeness. Hallelujah. That word likeness means to be the same as. Now, I'm not talking about in the position of who and what the Elohim is. I'm talking about the position or the place of what God calls the body of Christ. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you were to be in a denominational church and you were preaching this message, it would be considered heresy. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, the evangelicals, they believe in salvation, right? Hallelujah. But that's as far as you can go. You're not perfect. And you cannot be perfect in this life. And they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All they believe is that you have to be a true and tried member of that denomination. Hello? If you tell them that you can be perfect, they're going to say, you're crazy. You're human. You can't be perfect. But God says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He did not leave that idea of perfection to you and I to figure out. He told her what it must be. Hallelujah. So here we are. God is working. There's darkness, and He wants to deal with the darkness. And so He has to bring the darkness down to a form and in a fashion that man in his own strength, the man in the strength of his living soul, can handle it. Hello? So He brings forth and He says to Adam and Eve, you can have any tree in the garden. You can eat freely, even of the tree of life. You can, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not take it, because in the day you take it, you shall die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing that we want as individual is knowledge. The computer. We can go on the computer and find out anything about everything. Hallelujah. The whole idea of technology is knowledge. The storing of it, the searching of it, the getting of it, the compiling of it, and utilizing it for some reason or purpose that we have in our mind. The more knowledge that you have access to, the more authority and control they have over you. That's why your phone has chips in it, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they want to know. You got that little GPS and you put that GPS. I was looking and they wanted me to sign into an account here the other day. And I go and he says, you can use your Google account. And I just clicked on the Google account. And they tell me, we want your address. We want this. We want that. We want all your contact, blah, 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 blah. I said, no way. Hallelujah. Don't fool yourself. They know who you are, where you are, what you are. They know everything about you. And anytime they want to collect you, they can come and get you. You can't hide from anywhere. I think that's one of the things that the Bible at the end time prophesies. There's no place to hide. Hello? The only hiding place I have is under the rock. The only hiding place I have is under the covering of the Father, under the covering of the Holy Spirit, under the covering of the Son. I must be hid in Him. Yeah. Hide me under the rock. We used to sing a song about that. Yeah. Huh? Hide me under the rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing the other song. Cover me. Cover me. Extend the borders of thy mantle over me. You remember the story of Boaz? Huh? Ruth was told, you know, she could have been taken out and stoned. She could, had not Boaz done what Boaz did. Hallelujah. By virtue of mercy and by virtue of him being a good man, he chose to work out her situation to her benefit. Hallelujah. And we have to have that position or awareness or knowledge in the times that are coming upon us. But that position or time of knowledge is not going to come if we're not developing a relationship and doing what is necessary to enhance that relationship. Hallelujah. So, God in the beginning, hallelujah, He allowed man, hallelujah, He gave him a rule knowing that the man was going to violate the rule. But that was in the plan of God in the beginning. Because in Revelations, I think it's the 13th chapter, it says the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. That means before the earth was founded, God had already provided a means by which man might be redeemed. If man so chose to be redeemed. Your redemption did not come because somebody pushed you into the closet and beat you into it. Your redemption came because you decided that you were going to give up. That you were going to surrender. That you were going to give it up. And you were tired of fighting. Praise the Lord. And you went down there and you kneeled down at the altar and you said, Lord God, I'm a sinner. And hell was broken. It wasn't that you were just saying, chains were broken. Hell was shook to its foundational core. By virtue of your acceptance of the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. What happened? Darkness was broken. Amen. So in order for man to handle darkness, man had to become darkness. And it's not the devil, it's not hell, brethren, that is our problem. Hallelujah. It's us. It's our free will choice. It's us. Hallelujah. It's not the devil. The devil has no authority without you. The devil cannot procreate. Did you know that? He cannot create anything. He has to use everything around him in order to do whatever he has to do. And the only tool that the devil has is deception. He deceives you and I into doing something. Hallelujah. And at that doing it, he becomes our master. We become his servants. Romans 6:6. If I get angry and move in anger against someone, I'm not moving in righteous indignation. I'm moving by aspect of a nature that is in me, and the darkness that is in that nature lashes out at something, and the devil is right there manipulating and orchestrating and bringing me into a place of bondage. Hallelujah. And the only way that I can break that power, only way that I can break that action is repentance. Genuine repentance. Hello? Now, repentance is repentance. That means you stop, you turn away, and you walk away from it. Huh? That's what repentance means. It doesn't mean you stop and you say, I'm sorry, and you keep going. We think I'm sorry takes care of it. Hallelujah. But when we transgress the law, there is a price to pay. Do you hear me? Oh, we're free of the law. We're not under the law. Bet you me. Just get in your car and drive down the road at 100 miles an hour. See how far you get before the policeman arrests you and haul you off to jail. Or shoot you because you're avoiding arrest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man became darkness. Man became darkness. Not for the point of man being condemned to hell, but man became darkness by virtue of the fact that he had a free will choice and God had provided the means by which man, by his choice, could be delivered from that darkness. Hallelujah. All I had to do was say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I was free of darkness. Or the chains of bondage that was on me. But there's something still inside of me that is very much alive and very resistive of that which is righteous. What is that? What is that thing that is inside me? It was a nature in which I was born in darkness with. Hallelujah. So when God comes into my soul, He doesn't change everything automatically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are spirit, we are soul, we are body. Hallelujah. And by natural birth, I'm going to write that a different color because that is, this arena is reserved for the Holy Spirit. God gives us an endowment. You know, God in His mercy, He didn't leave us to our own devices. It says when a man dies, the Spirit returns unto the Father. It's the endowment. It's the thing that God gave us. It's called God consciousness. Before I was saved and I did something wrong, hallelujah, I was being convicted that that thing that I did was wrong. As I sat in an establishment that I was not supposed to be in, doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing, I knew that what I was doing was wrong. Somehow, intuitively, I knew I was wrong. And something was not right, and I was at unrest. But, you know, in me and my stubbornness and my rebellion was fighting for that position, that place of preeminence over that ceiling. Peace! Hallelujah. Father, you know, brethren, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. But what you do with the temptation can either lead to deliverance or bondage. Hallelujah. You're going to be tempted. They took Jesus Christ up on a tower and He says, cast yourself down. Hallelujah. Or He took Him up on the high place and He showed Him all of the world and the kingdoms of the world. He said, these kingdoms are mine. How could He say that? By virtue of Adam in his position of submission to the devil. He gave up his authority. Adam was a prince, by the way. You know that? Hallelujah. If you look at it in the natural sense, the father was the king. He created a son, called him Adam. He was now a prince. And I think the Bible calls him a prince here and there. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when Adam fell to the devil took his princedom. And he became the prince of the power of the air. He was not created a prince. He got it by right of conquest. Hallelujah. You know the saying, to the victor go the spoils. Hallelujah. Romans 6:16, by the way, again. To whom you yield your members, servants, to obey, His servants ye become. Hallelujah. So here we are, spirit, soul, and body, but we're under the auspices of the world that is around us. The world is all around us. Darkness is all around us. It says, darkness shall cover the earth, Isaiah 55, I believe. Darkness shall cover the earth, but what? Gross darkness shall be upon the people. Which is the greater darkness? The earth or the people? What is the greater darkness? Well, gross darkness is greater than darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this world around us, or the darkness of this world, you know, Paul wrote in one of his epistles, he says, being friends with the world is enmity against God. And that word world is cosmos. Cosmos. Hallelujah. And cosmos means a constituted authority that governs an arena of your lifestyle in which you are living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this world, hallelujah, is feeding things to you, to your body. Hallelujah. Because, you know, the principles of warfare, God says, I come from above. The devil has to come from below. Hallelujah. Genesis again. When God brought the condemnation on the devil, He says, "On thy belly shalt thou go in the dust, and what? Dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life." Do you know of any snake that eats dirt? I've been all over the world. I haven't found one yet, even in Africa. I haven't found one. And I haven't found anyone that could tell me that there was a snake that eat dirt. But what dirt is he now talking about? What dust is it? What dust is it that he's talking about? Huh? What did God tell Adam? Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So the devil was given liberty to feed off of the soul through the body. And why do you think God, part of the Godhead determined, that they determined that this part of the Godhead that is called the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, should have the ability to inhabit man? Huh? In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "And I will send another one in my name." And he called him the Spirit of Truth, and the Spirit, they called him the Comforter, but in actuality, it was the Holy Spirit. So when you and I are baptized in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, when you and I are baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and inhabits us, and now we have a direct line. When we are born again, Jesus the Son comes and deposits that seed of life in our soul. But that soul needs the reinforcement of the Holy Spirit in order to grow, develop, and come to a position or a place of authority in the nature, hallelujah, that it is designed to be, in order not to succumb to the darkness that is in his mind, in his emotions, in his desires. And God, he wants that position of the mind, emotions and the desires. He wants that spirit to invade. Hallelujah. You know, the promised land was inhabited by different tribes. The promised land was inhabited by different tribes. God says, "I will only drive those inhabitants out before you." He says, "I'm not going to go in and make a clean sweep. Lest that which that has been cleaned will come forth weeds and tares." Hallelujah. So God intends to work in the soul, and he's going to work in the soul by cutting off the avenues. He wants to cut off the avenues of how the devil feeds on you. As you cut off the avenues, you overcome the darkness. And as you overcome the darkness, you become the light. Hallelujah. There is one aspect about this gospel that we are seemingly no longer preaching in any great degree. We preach about morality, we preach about sexuality, we preach about the revelations of what it is that God is calling us to, but we don't seem to really dwell too much on the means by which we get there. Hallelujah. And the way that we get there is a death to self message. Hallelujah. Well, I think we've forgotten about it. Somehow, some way. We've forgotten about the pain, the suffering, and all of the tribulation. Oh, we have it, we are in it, but we really don't want to think about it too much. We really want to think about the benefits of being in this position or going toward this area of what God calls sonship. Going to this area called sonship. But you and I are not going to get to sonship unless we deal with the aspects or the attributes of the character that we were in the beginning before we were born again. Hallelujah. And the only way that we can deal with it is to allow it to die. Help it to die. Hallelujah. And that's tribulation. That's trial. That's fire. Hallelujah. The Bible says, John said in chapter 3, I believe it is, that John said in chapter 3, "I indeed baptize you with water, but there was one whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unlatch. He shall baptize you how?" He will baptize you first with Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit, but he's also going to baptize you with fire. fire is tribulation. Peter said, think it not strength of fiery trials that come to afflict you as though some strange thing has come. Brethren, if you want something out of God, hallelujah, if you want something out of God, hallelujah, this aspect of God is free. All you have to do is say, yes, I want it. That's all you have to do. Hallelujah. But from that point on, from this point on, every aspect and everything that pertains to the plans and purposes of God, there is something that you and I have to give. We have to buy it. What does it say? Come buy of me. Buy of me what? What? Oil tried in the fire. Oil and gold tried in the fire. Come buy of me. How am I going to buy gold? He says, give to me what you don't have. Hallelujah. Well, I'm to give up my position. I'm to give up my position of that which is called the pride of life. Who I am, what I am. The pride and the personal position of prestige. And that is only going to come through circumstances and situations of tribulation. I cannot give up my pride unless I'm being humiliated. Did you ever think about it? How am I going to give up my pride if my pride doesn't have an opportunity to assert itself? How am I going to give it up? Maybe I don't even know I'm prideful. Hallelujah. But let somebody step on my pride or some portion of my pride and you get a reaction. Somebody accuses you of doing something that you didn't do. Hallelujah. What am I supposed to do? Well, I can say I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Even though I didn't do it, that's humiliating to have to submit to a situation where you want to have peace and you have to say you're sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry that you're interpreting something that I did. And I'm sorry, very sorry that it happened in that manner, that way. That was not my intention. That was not my purpose. And what I do, I just cut a little bit of the pride bush. Hallelujah. Oh, it gets a little more severe. Because God starts digging for the root of the whole thing. He digs down, he digs down, digs down, digs down. He lops off the limbs first. Hallelujah. He lops off the limbs first. My son, when he goes out to cut a tree, he just doesn't cut the tree down, I don't think. Maybe he does. But I think he goes up there and he lops off those big branches. Don't you do that? And don't you even kind of cut it down in segments? You come down, you lop off the branches first. You take those branches off. You let them fall down there. He trims them, trims them, trims them. Hallelujah. It's like the pruner that goes in to prune the grapes. You know, you think when you look at them pruning the grapes, you think they're killing them. They take them sometime right down to the bare knob of the stalk. Hallelujah. And I tell you one time when I was watching this, I said, will that really survive that? He said, oh yes, it'll come back in full glory and full beauty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. There's nothing about it. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. And you know, we want to fight against it and somehow, some way or another, be justified, vindicated. But it says when he was reviled against, he reviled not again. It means that when he was accused of lies and the witnesses would come. Can you imagine this man? Hallelujah. Called Jesus, who come and is caught and is brought, not because he did something wrong, but because of envy and jealousy. Boy, I'm telling you, we are envious and jealous people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one situation, there was a circumstance in the situations where we were visiting some people and some other people were there. And they had a nice house, they had some nice furniture, and they had this refrigerator that was a very nice refrigerator. It was one of the newer models, and one of the newer models, and as we were walking out the door and as we were going to our cars, one of the persons in that group was beginning to talk negative about them having this refrigerator. How can they afford that refrigerator? They're not supposed to have a good refrigerator like that. I said, what? I said, they can have any kind of refrigerator they want. It's a matter of choice. What business is it of you? But there are things that work in that manner, things that work in that way. Hallelujah. And not only did he say it to me, but they say it to the people that were hosting us at the time. And it wasn't done blatantly, it was like innuendos. And they handled it very sweetly, very kindly, very smiled and took something out of the refrigerator and gave it to the man. Hallelujah. It costs you something. It costs you something. It costs you something. It says, I am to be buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. Do we have any idea of the hell that he went into? Do we have any idea of the torment of the fact of the matter of where he was and what it was he was having to deal with in the aspect of him being dead and buried? And when it talks buried with him, the man went to hell. He was a just man, but it says, cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. He had to be cursed in order to take the sins of the world upon him by the very virtue. It wasn't something he'd done. It was something that was done to him by virtue of jealousy and envy that was around him. Death to self. Death to self. How is it that you think that we will get into the kingdom with any less best price to pay? We won't. Not if we want to be in that position. Not if we wanted to be in this position or place of sonship. Don't you want that sonship? I do. At least I say I do. But do my actions bear out and witness to it? Do I do what is necessary? Hallelujah. In order to be in a place that I might inherit that position of sonship. And that, brethren, that position of son is not just an ordinary position. It says we shall be joint heirs with him. But if we are to be joint heirs with him, self has to die. The whole process from here on in is death to self. You have the brazen laver. Hallelujah. You have the lampstand. You have the table of showbread. You have the golden altar of incense, and then you have the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's six more steps. And as we progress through the tabernacle, hallelujah, it is a message of death, burial, and resurrection. You don't have death, burial, and resurrection unless you really want to die. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of us would tell, if Paul were still alive and in the same condition that he was in those various situations or circumstances, I wonder how many of us would say, well, I'm a good friend of Paul's. Paul's a good friend of mine. That jailbird down there sitting in the midst of the cell, he's my friend. He's one of my best friends. We'd probably be like Peter said, I don't know the man. You know, that was the problem with one of the churches. They considered him a jailbird. And then Paul said, I'm not ashamed of my bonds. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed of them. I glory in it. Glory in it. Do you understand? I glory in it. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of these bonds. He says, I bear in my body the marks of my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Paul suffered in such a manner, if John suffered in such a manner, what makes you and I think that we will get through the whole process without some suffering? If not the same suffering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to wake up and smell the roses. Hallelujah. Death to self. Lifestyle. Well, here we go, right back there again. Lifestyle. Hallelujah. I was lamenting one day concerning some of the activities that we were involved with in Africa and the difficulties that we were having and with the lack of energy in various ways. Not physical energy necessarily, but that was a part of it. I was lamenting about it, and I was praying, and I was asking God, you know, why is it? Why is it that you don't do something? You need to move in this, and you need to move in that. And I sat there for a moment, and it was like Jesus then saying, "Are you through?" And He says, "Dig deeper." And He's talking to me. I'm thinking I've dug this as deep as I can dig. Physically, mentally, emotionally, naturally. And He says to me, "Dig deeper."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I have to start looking how to dig deeper. First of all, I have to stop complaining. And second, I have to repent. And thirdly, I have to look to see how I can dig deeper. Hallelujah. In any and every arena that I was complaining about. Hallelujah. How deep are you digging? How deep are you digging? Some of us are just, and I'm including me in all this, some of us are just scratching the surface. When I was farming, I had a plot of ground that was so hard that you could take a pickaxe and strike it on the ground and it would just make a little mark and glance off. Hallelujah. Just scratch the top of it. I had to come out with a big tractor tool that had a big blade on it like this, what they call a shank, a tooth, and stick it down in the ground and hook it up to a big tractor and put it down there in the ground and put that tractor and pull it, and that ground would just groan and moan. Do you ever hear ground moan, groan and moan? That ground would moan and groan. Hallelujah. And then when it would break, the tractor would leap and you would hear this. And these big clods of dirt like cement. Hallelujah. It's time for us to break up our fallow ground, brethren. It's time for us to get serious with the Lord. That is, if you really want to be here in the time that we need to get there. God bless you. God bless you. Can we sing ancient words? Somebody? Ancient words.